भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 4, entitled The Hamsa Guhya Prayers, Text 5. Drumebhyah krudhyamanaste tapo dipitamanyavah मुखतो वायुमग्निं च ससृजस्तद्दिदृक्षया। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because of having undergone long austerities in the water, the Prachetas were very angry at the trees. Desiring to burn them to ashes, they generated wind and fire from their mouths. Purport. Here the word tapo dipita manyavaha indicates that persons who have undergone severe austerity, tapasya, are endowed with great mystic power as evinced by the prachetas, who created fire and wind from their mouths. Although devotees undergo severe tapasya, however, they are vimanyavah, sadhavah, which means that they are never angry. They are always decorated with good qualities. Bhagavatam 3:25-21 states, titikshavah karunikah suhadas sarvadehinam अजात शत्रु शांता साधव साधुभूषण। ए साधु, ए डिवोटी इज नेवर एंग्री। एक्चुअली द रियल फीचर ऑफ डिवोटीज हु अंडरगो तपस्या ऑस्टेरिटी इज फॉरगिवनेस। ऑल्दो ए वैष्णव हैज सफिशियंट पावर इन तपस्या, ही डज नॉट बिकम एंग्री व्हेन पुट इनटू डिफिकल्टी। इफ वन अंडरगोस तपस्या but does not become a Vaishnava, however, one does not develop good qualities. For example, Hiranyakashipu and Ravana also performed great austerities, but they did so to demonstrate their demoniac tendencies. Vaishnavas must meet many opponents while preaching the glories of the Lord, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that they not become angry while preaching. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this formula, Trunadapi Sunichena, Taro Riva Sahishtuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahrihi. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Those engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord should be humbler than grass and more tolerant than a tree. Then they can preach the glories of the Lord without difficulty. Very important shloka for practicing devotees, because human life is meant for austerity. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shuddhet yasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka. But we have to perform austerities which yena sattvam shuddhet. The whole purpose of tapasya is to purify our existence. Why? Yena sattvam shuddhet yasmat Brahma Saukhyam, you find real happiness, true happiness. So this is the sign of tapasya. If you are really performing tapasya, divya tapasya, then sattvam shuddhi, our existence must be purified. What is the proof that our existence is getting purified? Brahma Saukhyam. We are experiencing spiritual happiness. How do we know that is spiritual happiness? Anantam. It is eternal. It will never be disturbed under any material circumstances. But if it is disturbed, then it is not spiritual happiness that we are experiencing. And that is because that tapasya is not divya tapasya, that is asurik tapasya, as mentioned here, performed by Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, etc. Tapasya means accepting voluntary inconvenience for the present for some future benefit. That is tapasya. Everyone is performing tapasya. Everyone is undergoing so much inconveniences voluntarily. Otherwise, everyone could be just sleeping. People are working. People are doing so many things. Just accepting so many inconveniences for some future benefit. But then, human life is for intelligently inquiring, what kind of inconveniences should be we have to undergo inconvenience anyway for achieving anything in life. But where we have to invest that energy where we get maximum benefit? That is a sign of intelligence. With least effort, you get maximum benefit. That is a sign of intelligence. Not that so much endeavor and practically no benefit. Khoda pahad nikli chuhiya. You dig a whole mountain, little mouse comes out. That is tapasya that we do intelligently. But the nature of tapasya is, when we perform tapasya, naturally a sense of pride comes up, that I am so austere. I'm able to control, I'm able to tolerate all inconveniences. There is a natural tendency to be elevated. And it's a fact. No pain, no gain. When you take pain, you will get gain. This is a law. It's a natural law. No pain, no gain. And if you take pain, you will gain. The question is what? So, tapasya naturally gives rise to a sense of superiority. That I am slightly better. I am able to control my senses, whatever. Or I am able to tolerate much better than others. And that is the beginning of demoniac quality. Krishna says in the Gita, there are two kinds of people. Dobhuta sargav lokesmin daiva asura evacha. So one is daivi tapasya, one is asurik tapasya. What is the asurik quality? Dambho darpo abhimanascha krodhaha parushyam evacha. Agyanam cha abhijatasya partha sampadam. These are the opulences, asurim. There are two kinds of opulences. Asurik sampat. The opulence earned by tapasya, asuri sampadam. The sampat or the sampati or the opulence that is derived by asurik mentality. And that Daivi means it is acquired by proper means. So, we see this is common in the lives of devotees also. How many of us can factually say that we never get angry. Though we may express ourselves externally just to show others that I'm actually a sadhu. But deep inside there is turbulence. Just like the swan. The swan is going so smoothly in the water. Externally, you know, it's just moving so smooth. But inside it's just struggling. Beating its hands and the webs so quick. But externally it looks so swan-like. So externally we may be swan-like. We may pose ourselves. But it is a fact that deep inside we are burning with lust, envy, anger, pride, etc. It is a fact. So tapasya means to tolerate that. Because the once these qualities manifest, just like it is described, dambha, it all starts with pride. Dambha means pride. When you are proud, darpaha, we become arrogant in our disposition. We become little arrogant. Darpaha. Why? Abhimanascha. And we want to be respected for that quality that we are proud of and that we feel we are better than others. Abhimanascha. And therefore, we start demanding respect, not commanding. And when we start commanding respect, and we don't get it, when we're demanding respect, and some person, at a natural arrangement, you will find some fellow will not respect you. Invariably, whoever you are. Even Krishna was not respected. What to speak of us? So, when we demand respect, people, some may give it. Who cares? Somebody may not know you, who you are. Who cares? Therefore, they may not. And then, krodha. Then you become very angry. Why this person is not giving me respect? And then, that same anger manifests in a very gross form, parushya, harsh speech. So here the prachetas are bringing out wind and fire to destroy the trees, innocent trees, who just grew out of neglect. You neglected, therefore they grew. If you trimmed it regularly, they won't grow. What is their fault? You went for tapasya, you neglected, therefore everything is growing, weeds are growing. And suddenly you see how they have grown. Blow wind. They were in Satyuga, they could actually bring out fire. We can't bring out fire. We bring out wind. Actually, speech is nothing but the air coming from the lungs and in a very restricted, systematic way released from the mouth. That's all. And fire. It is coming out because it's a fire. It actually destroys and burns others. We speak harsh words, literally fire emanating from the mouth when it is coming out of these kind of hidden or it's actually subtle to gross. Just like, you know, creation from subtle to gross. The subtle thing is the whole demoniac propensity is in a nutshell told in this verse. So dambha, pride, like take for example a devotee, Daksha. Same Daksha was later born with this womb of these prachetas only. But previous life, in a previous Swayambhu Manvantara, the same Daksha was a brilliant, effulgent, practicing devotee. And by his influence, he could attract hundreds of sages, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, everyone attended when he invited people. But dambha, somehow he was so proud. And darpaha, therefore when he walked in, he was so arrogant that he expected everyone to stand up. Abhimanascha, conceited, he expected, he demanded respect for his qualification. What qualification do we have? Ultimately, yadyat vibhuti mat sattvam. Whatever we have is ultimately borrowed property of the Lord. Balam balavatam chaham, buddhir buddhimatam asmi. But then when we artificially become proud, abhimanascha, and everyone stood up except Lord Shiva, poor fellow, he was in his own meditation. Krodha, he became very angry. Why this person is not properly respecting me? And what manifested was fiery words. Wind emanated from his chest with fire. And because they were very austere, powerful, influential people, their words carried a lot of weight. The higher the power you have, the higher the austerity is there, it works. The words that emanate also have power. Power to create something wonderful or power to destroy. And so what followed was, all of us know, it's there in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam for us to understand. So therefore it is so dangerous for a practicing devotee not to fall prey to anger. Krishna says in the Gita, Shaknoti haiva yas sodhum prak sharira vimokshanat kama krodha udbhavam vegam sa yuktaha sa sukhi naraha. Shaknoti iha eva. In this material existence, as long as we are in the material existence, Shaknoti aiva yas sodhum, one who is able to tolerate prak sharira vimokshanat. Till what time, sir? Till you give up this body. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. An urge to speak out. An urge to do something. Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. Sa yuktaha. He is properly situated, properly engaged. Sa sukhi naraha. He is really happy. So, the whole demoniac quality. Demoniac doesn't mean we have to have horns on a head and eating man eating cannibals. Demoniac propensity can arise in every living entity as long as there are three modes of material nature. And body means the three modes of nature. Therefore, as long as the body is there, lust will come, anger will come, greed will come, envy will come. It will arise. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhava. As long as we are surrounded by an environment, a mode of passion and ignorance predominantly, we will be influenced. But through intelligence, one has to tolerate. As once His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj made all of us on a Sunday feast chant three times. This statement, famous statement of Prabhupada in the Krishna book. One's greatness is estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. It is so natural to react in a provoking situation. But a devotee of the Lord tolerates. That is the first sign of a devotee. Titikshavaha. Titikshavaha is very tolerant. If you want to be a devotee, you have to tolerate. Otherwise, you can't be a devotee. If you want to be Vaishnava, Vaishnava is too big a term. Yeah, we may be wearing Kantimala, Tilak, etc. That doesn't mean we have become a Vaishnava. So, that Titikshava, the first sign of a devotee is his tolerant. That is tapasya. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara upastha vegam. Etan veganyo vishaheta dhiraha. Tapasya means for self-realization. If we control the urges, all these urges, vacho vegam, manasa vegam, krodha vegam, jihva vegam, udara vegam, upastha vegam, body vegam, mind vegam, and speech vegam, ultimately, basically. Vega means an urge to release. an uncontrollable urge to speak or to think in a way or to do something in a way. I just do it, that's all. But then, vishaheta, one has to tolerate. Dhiraha, dhirastatra namuhyati. A person should not be bewildered, because who is dhirastatra namuhyati? Kaumaram yavana tatha dehantara prapti. One who doesn't fall prey to the urge of the body. Because he understands, I am not the body, I am the soul. And the soul is part of God. Ultimately, in all my activities, am I pleasing God or not? If I am not pleasing God, then I am not a true servant of God. If I am hurting God through hurting His mission, hurting His devotees, hurting myself against Paramatma, torturing my own body, anything we do, that is not devotional service at all. And therefore, tapasya is, Prabhupada writes in that purport, true repentance is awakening our Krishna consciousness. And only tapasya is, whatever is favorable to awaken Krishna consciousness, self-realization, we accept it whether we like it or not. And whatever is not favorable for Krishna consciousness, we reject it, however tempting, attractive and provocative they are. That is tapasya. A person who practices that, whatever is necessary to become Krishna conscious, irrespective of the mind's demands, the demand of the speech to speak it out, the demand of the body to act it out, the demand of mind's, there are two kinds of mind. Is one is avirodha priti. Avirodha priti means becoming attached to our own way of what is right and wrong. And virodha yukta krodha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains. Virodha yukta. Anytime our own way of doing things become obstructed, we become angry. The whole reason why we have come to this material world is two reasons. The desire to enjoy and the desire to control separately from the Lord. So we desire a particular result and we want to control the situation to get that result. But unfortunately, we are not the controllers. Things won't work out according to the way we want. And therefore, when a person simply tolerates allowing Krishna's will to manifest, we do our best and then leave the rest. Then, that is all right. But then a question arises. Kama Krishna Karma Arpane Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Narottam Das Thakur, I think, whose appearance day, disappearance day is today, has written beautiful composer, says, Kama Krodha Krishna Karma Arpane Krodha Bhakta. We can't give up anger, but we can release that anger Bhakta Dveshi Jane. Against the principles of ignorance being propagated, that we can destroy, use that anger as Hanuman or Arjun, the famous examples. But then there is a tendency for a sadhaka to also justify his or her anger as transcendental. I am doing it for Krishna's pleasure and Krishna's service. How do we know actually whether it is transcendental anger? Hanuman's anger was 100% transcendental. Arjuna's anger was 100% transcendental. Then it is transcendental. Absolutely transcending the three modes of nature. Otherwise, accept the fact that it is not transcendental. How do we know, first of all, how do we know that this anger is transcendental or not? The nature of anger is if you give even a little way to that, it will go on increasing, increasing, increasing. There's no end to it. And from necessary anger, it will become unnecessary anger. That is a sign of material anger. Spiritual anger, exactly as much as required. Finish. The job is done. Hari Bol. And then you are happy. Blissful as before. But material anger is, you let go and it just takes over. And it becomes from necessary. It starts with necessary, but it goes to unnecessary. Therefore, we find prachetas becoming unnecessarily angry. And continuing to destroy all the trees, whole race of trees. Ultimately, Soma had to come. Why, Baba? Why are you doing all this? Some trees are required. You are supposed to be the kings. And trees are supposed to supply you. You could don't show this anger so much that you destroy the whole Vamshaja. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was angry just because his brother was killed by someone. Kill that Yaksha. I want to kill the whole dynasty of Yaksha. Women Yaksha, children Yaksha, old Yaksha. But that's nonsense. Or Maharaj Janmejaya. Parikshit Maharaj, my father was killed by a snake. I want to destroy these snakes. Are you? Krishna has created 84 lakh species. You don't try to become more smarter than Krishna. I want to make it 83,99,999 only. That's all. I will destroy this race for all. Wow. You think you are more smarter than Krishna? Ultimately, somebody has to come and, Prabhu, cool down, cool down. This is not devotional service, okay? This is your becoming a slave to your lust, and which is kamat krodho vijayate. It's your own lust to do the things you want. And so therefore, material anger means it will eventually, if you do not properly, if it actually not spiritual, it will gradually start, even lust. We may lust after Mahaprasad. That's all right. But it will start like that and go. Greed. After all, Krishna's service, I need all this. But the nature of these things are, from necessary, it will become unnecessary without your knowledge. And before long, you know, you're so far away, it's very difficult to come back. You have done so much destruction to yourself and to others. It leads to so much offense, so much of destruction. And secondly, what is the second proof that your anger or your lust or our greed is not transcendental? Trinada pisunichena taroriva sahishtuna amanina manadir kirtaniya sadahari. Your kirtan, your bhajan gets disturbed. Then you should know that it is material. If our bhajan and hearing and chanting gets disturbed, then it is material. If you are doing it for Krishna, you should be blissful always. Brahma bhuta prasannatma. Na shochati na kangsh. Shochati means mode of ignorance. Kangshati means mode of passion. If you are in the true mode of goodness, no. Rajoguna. If rajoguna comes, you will not be prasannatma. You will be miserable atma. Then you should know. This anger, this lust, this greed, this envy is actually disturbing my hearing and chanting. Then you should know that it is material. Otherwise, there is a tendency to justify our lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, etc., whatever. His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj was giving a brilliant analogy to explain this point. Sometimes we think, those people out there are angry, you know. We are using it in Krishna's service. No. As long as we have this material body, all this will always come. Therefore, we have to be very careful. And he was telling, okay, Adav Shaddadada Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivritti Sya Nishtharachi Bhava. So he drew a graph. Y-axis and X-axis. X-axis means time and Y-axis means sadhana. And then he drew at 45 degree angle another line, you know, between X and Y at 45 degrees. So there are 90 degrees, X and Y angle. And we say, isn't it? Adav Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, such a smooth line, isn't it? Everyone said, yes. Is it? Then everyone started thinking. Do you, after 20 years of practicing Krishna consciousness, don't feel the urge sometimes to overeat Mahaprasad? Yes, Maharaj. Do you, after many years of practicing Krishna consciousness, don't get the urge to look to the right side of the temple hall or the left side of the temple hall rather than in front into the deities? Oh, everyone. Yes, Maharaj. Then why do you say it's a smooth curve? It's not a smooth curve. Don't you feel like that? Yeah, go like that and then down. It's like, you know, they show in comics electric lightning bolts, you know. Zigzag, zigzag. So like, isn't it like that? Yes, everyone say, yes, yes, Maharaj, like that. He said, no, it's not even like that. And they said, why don't you tell me before, you know, why you ask again? And then he said, actually the advancement, or rather all these anarthas, or advancement actually, is, he said, spiral. It's like a spiral. But from a narrow to a wide spiral, as they show a bhavandar, what do you say? Cyclone. It starts with the seed, I. It starts with an I. Then big, huge ones. So he was telling, our advancement is like that. First, we fall prey to gross lust, gross anger, gross envy, beat up the fellow till he bleeds to death. Gross pride. Clearly, it's obvious, as clear as daylight. But as we advance and become more sophisticated and more understanding of the etiquettes of Krishna consciousness and the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, we know how to exactly cover it up and release it whenever required to how much ever is required and get our jobs done. So the same pride, the same anger, the same envy comes out, but in a different way. And It's more subtler now. In fact, sometimes so subtle that we don't even recognize it. Others can see it as daylight, like a black spot under your nose. The whole world can see it. A child can see it, that the Chinese emperor is naked, but you can't see. You're just walking. And all your followers, yes, my lord, you're perfectly right, my lord. But a child can say, hey, the emperor is naked. Who is this rascal? Kill him. He doesn't see properly. So he was telling how it is upward spiral. And then all of a sudden, one day, we find that the devotee is gone. Prabhuji, where is that Maharaj? Or Maharaji, where is that Prabhu? Where did he go? One time, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving a lecture on the power of devotional service. How devotional service is so powerful. And at the end of it, I remember, Adikesho Prabhu was sitting very close to this particular spot because I was sitting next to him. He was sitting next to this Mridanga. He asked this question. Maharaj, I have a question. Many years ago, he asked, Maharaj, you say that devotional service is transcendental. If devotional service is transcendental and it has such purifying effect, how is it that those great souls who performed so much devotional service, distributed so many books, opened so many centers, preached all over, where are they now? Why has it happened like that in our society? And the answer given was, devotional service is transcendental, but we are not. Sometimes we may even do our own devotional service, that's what I understood it, in the mode of passion, out of anger, out of pride, out of, you don't know. To the extent that these people became so competitive that make sure that if I can't increase my score, his score should be reduced. Somehow. That is something wrong. You should feel pleasure in somebody distributing more. But if you start feeling that, why are you distributing more? Somehow you have to do one little more to just push them down. If you feel unhappy, then there is something wrong. And therefore, he was giving this brilliant example. He says, sometimes, after many years, we face the same lust, same anger, same envy, same pride. But now it is more deeper and deeper and deeper, more subtler and subtler and subtler. And therefore, if along with our devotional service, he was giving a beautiful example. Sometimes we see tree, a huge tree growing, and the crown of the tree, meaning all the branches, they make like look like a crown of the tree. The tree is expanded so much, huge, and one little wind and the whole tree collapses. Why? Because simultaneously along with the growth of the tree up above the ground, if the roots of the tree have not gone deeper and deeper and wider, then when the wind comes, a small plant will remain straight, but a big, huge tree will just collapse. Similarly, in devotional service, as year advances, we take responsibilities over many projects, over many people, over many, so many responsibilities, over so much money, over so much property. And it is expanding and expanding. Service is expanding. Tree is growing up above the ground. The whole world can see how powerfully this person is contributing. But nobody, in fact, even the last thing that people notice is under the ground what is happening. What's happening to your hearing? What is happening to your chanting? There is a tendency to neglect it because it is underground. Nobody notices it. And when everyone notices it, when a wind comes and the tree falls, oh, such a huge, beautiful tree. Why? Because simultaneously to upward growth, we never bothered about the inward growth. Spiritual life is a long journey inward. Dharma swanushtita pumsam vishvaksena kathasuyah na utpadayed yadiratim shramaye vahi keval. Of course, devotional service shrama is not waste of labor, but you will lose time. Many, many births before you start from where you left off. Why waste time? Shramaye vahi kevalam. And therefore, simultaneously, if you want to overcome anger, it's described. How to overcome anger? Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. Manasaha krodha vegam. The only way to vega. Where is this vega coming from? Kama krodha udbhavam vegam. It is the vega, urge is coming from kama and krodha. And kama yesha krodha yesha rajoguna samudbhavaha. It is coming from rajoguna, eventually transforming into tamoguna. And therefore, if you want to overcome, there is only one way. And that is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam swakatha krishna punya shravana kirtanaha hridayantasthohi abhadrani. Deep-rooted abhadras, more subtler ones. Just like Mahaprabhu cleaned the big part of the bigger dust in the temple. But later he went into intricate details, the crevices in the small holes there, cracks there, that also he cleaned. He put water. So simultaneously with advancing time in Krishna consciousness, if you are not going deeper to the roots and taking a stock of our basic sadhana of hearing and chanting, how much are we developing a taste in hearing the glories of the Lord? Or is it becoming an austerity? I am so busy serving, I have no time to hear. I am so busy serving in the mission of the Lord that I have no time to chant. It has become a drudgery. Somehow I have to get through this so that I can serve. There is something wrong. Time will tell when the winds blow. And winds are bound to blow in this material world. That's the nature of this world. And therefore everything collapses. So therefore, this is the two tests. Therefore, it's amazing how Srila Prabhupada, in the later verse, Soma tells these people, simply follow in the footsteps of your father, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, of the previous acharyas. Mahajano yena gatasya pantha. How did they respond? How did they act? We have to scrutinizingly study the lives of our father, great-grandfather and great-great-grandfather in our parampara. Especially days like this, appearance, disappearance days, Narottam Das Thakur. What a kingly background he came from. What an amazing menial service he did to Lokanath Goswami. So by remembering these beautiful pastimes on these days and trying to sincerely follow in their footsteps. So especially Solinus Sachinandan Maharaj was mentioning about hearing and chanting. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting the holy name. Just yesterday, somebody was mentioning to me, His Grace Madhav Prabhu, our Bhakti Raghav Maharaj's disciple, who is very much part of our congregation, know him so intimately. It seems a few years ago, I think, he had a desire to worship Shaligram Shila. He had a great desire, so he made arrangement from Kathmandu, from Gandaki to get something. That he was trying in so many places to get some Shaligram Shila. And after everything arrangement, almost everything done, it seems he approached his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, Holiness Bhakti Raghav Maharaj. And he told him, Maharaj, I have a great desire to actually worship the Shaligram. And Bhakti Raghav Maharaj, it seems, told him, for first 45 years, you worship Srimad Bhagavatam, which is non-different from the Lord. After that, when time is ripe, I will tell you. Up to when you are 45 years old, then we will discuss. And he took that instruction very seriously. He says, Krishna is not different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Or Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Direct association with Krishna. Krishna is giving his darshan during this 45 minutes. Krishna is giving his intimate, loving, non-different association for 1.5 hours. At least. Fixed time. Fixed by acharyas for us. Pre-fixed appointment. If we are not looking forward to that, and then rest of the day, okay, we will do the needful. What devotional service can we do? What earth-shaking preaching can we do? If you simply remain, whenever necessary, Krishna will use us for whatever purpose. But at that time, you should remain fit and be ready. Just like it is a fire extinguishers we have, you know. One time I was going near Opera House. So, one taxi caught fire. And the taxi wala is shouting, "Are, koi bachao, kuch to karo, kuch to karo." And people are desperately looking. Everyone is watching. Nice. matinee show about 2:30 in the afternoon. Nobody is doing anything. What can they do? Somebody was getting to run. Where will the water have tap? No water is coming in the tap. Then somebody somehow managed to get one fire extinguisher. And 3-4 people are trying to open it. Nobody knows how to open it. Then one fellow reversed it and hit it on the ground. Few little wind came out and stopped. Because it was not refilled, I think, at proper time. All the, just from powder came out, that's all. Flew onto that fellow's face, and before he could pick it up, it was gone. In 3 seconds. So, when we need the most, we don't know. We don't know when Krishna will use us for what purpose. We should be ready. Ever charged up. Ever refilled. Krishna, I am ready. Like Prabhupada. Ready. For first 40 years, no fire. Then there was fire. And then immediately he was called. Come along. The next 10 years I want to do this revolutionary preaching. He was ready. Nachao, nachao, Prabhu, nachao se mate. Kashtira putali jaha, nachao se mate. I don't know why you are bringing me. I don't know what you want to do with me. But I know one thing, my Lord. I simply want to become an instrument in your hands. Use me in any way you want. So for first 40 years, zero. Practically, in one sense, externally speaking. In terms of results. But for next 10 years, unparalleled in the history of mankind. But he was the same. So this is actually, that's why Srimad Bhagavatam again and again brings out. So many times we have some deep questions, unresolved questions. And you simply sit in the Bhagavatam class with a prayerful mood and Krishna speaks. Even though that fellow may be impure, sitting on the Vyasas and not very pure, somehow sincerely trying to whatever understanding, realization he is speaking. But Krishna puts the right word in his mouth. Or even if that fellow speaks not very properly, Krishna from within our heart, Hridi antasthohi abhadrani vidhunoti sihrit satam. Because he's a well-wisher, he said, if we are eager to hear, if you are eager to chant the holy name, the Lord sees that eagerness and he reciprocates by giving the taste from within. And so therefore, by hearing, again we understand. It's actually the same thing. It is especially for us, there are two kinds of Bhagavatam hearers. Those who read for relishing. Those who are pure souls. Nirmat saranam satam. But we do it as a tapasya. Austerity. And be sure, if you are doing this austerity with proper consciousness, you will never become proud. Because it smashes us. Every Bhagavatam class smashes us. Completely. Makes us very humble. Because Bhagavatam means glory of the Lord. The more you hear the glories of the Lord, the more you become very humble. Trinadapi sunichena taroriva sahishtuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Then it becomes natural. It will be natural for us to actually take shelter of the Lord at all moments. And who are we to become angry? What at all? What we deserve in the way, by the way. What do we deserve? Anger is when you feel you are not justice is done. Then you become angry. But if the justice department opens in Krishna's and mercy department closes, when finish, we have no hope. Because there is another department, just like yesterday, a few days back, Gaurang Prabhu was telling, the Yamraj department and Vishnu department. If you want justice, then Yamraj will do the justice. Exactly measure, you know, tell Chitragupta, okay, put all his balance, let us see. What will be our situation? But it is because of Radharani's department, mercy department, We have some hope. So where is the question of getting anger? Anger means injustice, out of frustration. So there is no question of anger. A devotee happily executes Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Can take one question if there is. Otherwise we'll stop. People are in a hurry, 9:20. Jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.